Can you just sort of also explain what the difference between MET amplification is and like MET exon 14 mutations, for example?
Sure. So MET exon 14 mutation is seen in about 3-4% of non-small cell lung cancers. If you have a patient with sarcomatoid histology, you're probably going to see it in a greater proportion of patients. That is a de novo mutation that you see in these patients, and there are MET inhibitors that are being studied. Crizotinib has some data on this patient population showing responses in about 40% of the patients, and a number of other MET inhibitors are being studied. So checking for the MET 14 exon skip mutation is now done by all these NGS panels. Unless you're only looking for EGFR, ALK, and ROS1, you should be able to pick this up. And at least now there are some options for these patients in a clinical trial or a therapeutic experiment kind of setting. MET amplification is basically the cell making more copies of the MET gene to drive the pathway signaling. And that we see in the context primarily of acquired resistance to EGFR inhibition. Now, it could possibly happen with other targeted agents as well in the setting of acquired resistance. Basically, what we know is the RAF-RAS MAP kinase pathway is turned on as acquired resistance develops to EGFR TKIs. And MET amplification is probably responsible for anywhere in the order of 20 to 30% of the patients who develop acquired resistance to EGFR TKI. We've seen that with erlotinib. Now we're seeing that with osimertinib.
So I can't remember what kind of abnormality I've heard this talked about, but the issue of bringing in a second generation drug like erlotinib, gefitinib, after osimertinib. What's that about?
So that would be a situation where somebody develops a C797S mutation. And what happens is the C797 is the site where osimertinib binds to the receptor. So when you have a secondary mutation there, osimertinib is no longer able to bind to the receptor and produce the interruption in signaling. Whereas EGFR first generation TKIs bind at a different site. So you could, for those patients who develop C797S, give them a therapeutic trial of gefitinib or erlotinib. Now, do you have to give both osimertinib and gefitinib? We don't know those answers, but certainly trying a course of gefitinib or erlotinib would be a reasonable thing to do for these patients.
I was just flashing on the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but in 2004, I was scheduled to interview somebody I never heard of named Tom Lynch. I asked them about, well, why do you see these people with each of, you know, who responded drugs like gefitinib so well? And like, he got all red in the face and he said, well, we can't talk about it right now. And I'm like, what? And like the next day was the New England Journal paper, which had been embargoed that he couldn't talk about, describing the EGFR tumor mutation. And here we are, we just spent 20 minutes talking about resistance to a third generation agent. So, wow.
Fascinating how that field has emerged. You're referring to May 2004 when the two papers came out back to back?
That's exactly when it was, 2004. And then I had to go back and interview him at ASCO to get the real story of the whole thing, you know. But anyhow,